This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. Also, make sure you follow us on all the social media platforms, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, pretty much anywhere that you are. We're trying to have a presence there, at least. Today, I have someone whom I'd like to call a super activist with me in the studio today, Diane Moxley. You may not have heard of all of her exploits yet, but she has been a longtime activist fighting to make the world a better place. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Hi, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
It's so good to have you here. So people might possibly have already seen you because you've been a meme on social media. You're holding a sign. What did the sign say that you're holding?
It says, we're not trying to start a class war, we're trying to end one.
And that was from the Occupy, when you were a part of the Occupy movement? When was that photo taken?
Yeah, I became active with Occupy Wall Street in the fall of 2011, but that sign in particular was actually from the first anniversary, which is September 17th is the anniversary date, and that was in 2012. And our activism tends to be a family affair. So on that particular day, my daughter took a photo of that sign, just a real casual. We were walking down the street and she just, you know, said, oh, let me capture that moment right there as we were coming and going from some really incredible actions. And she has pretty good social media reach. So, you know, I think she tweeted it out. I know she tweeted it out and I think she Instagrammed it out. And I still see that meme coming up on my feed. I think the last time was just, Labor Day. People tag me in it. So it's kind of cool to see the,
you know, every year it kind of makes the rounds a little bit.
Yeah. It's an important message. So it really, I think, is. It resonates. Yeah.
Was Occupy your first foray into activism, or were you involved in activism before the Occupy movement?
I think I've sort of my whole adult life I've been involved in activism, but it has evolved and gotten more intense over the years as I've become more aware of the extreme sense of urgency we should all have with these issues that are plaguing us. I would say, you know, my activism started in the late 80s. Back then it was pro-choice rallies in DC. Then even in the early 90s, it was kind of a lonely world to be preaching anti-war against the Persian Gulf War in the early 90s. I even have a peace sign tattoo on my left shoulder that I got at the beginning of the Persian Gulf War, and I was becoming educated and trying to find new sources of information to find out what was really going on, and just beginning to learn about the horrific war machine we have that is, you know, whether we have D's or R's in charge of our government, they never met a military budget they didn't like, and they never met an action or war they didn't like.
Yeah, the military budget is astounding how much we spend compared to how much we bring in. It's over half of our tax dollars go to war, right?
Yeah, it's significantly more than half. And it's right now, you know, it was virtually unanimously voted on by the D's and the R's. The budget right now is $716 billion.
And that's with a B, you're saying.
Billion.
Yes.
Yes.
Make sure that we clear that, because, you know, I think that amount of money, most people can't even imagine what that looks like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you tried to, like, visualize what $700 billion looked like, if you stacked it up, I don't know how big that would be, but I know it would be really, really big.
Really, really, really big. And there's arguments to be made that we've really hit a trillion, because that is the specific military budget, but there's other ways, runarounds of getting money when there's actions and You know, when we're doing actions overseas, there's ways of pumping that up that don't aren't included in that budget. So some people would argue that it's actually already hit a trillion, but it's safe to say that our military budget that our politicians voted on almost unanimously is $716 billion.
Yeah, that's fairly ridiculous. So you're also a peace activist, and you also were at Standing Rock, right?
Yes. I was at Standing Rock in the fall of 2016. My daughter and I took a road trip with somebody we met on a rideshare, because there was all sorts of rideshare boards going on at the time. We met a lovely woman from Massachusetts. We filled up our car with lots of supplies, because our intent was to leave behind winter camping supplies for the water protectors. And we also needed a lot to, when we were there, it was the, we left the, well, we were arrived the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and we left the Monday after Thanksgiving. So we were there just over a week.
And there was already snow on the ground that, by that point in time, right?
Yeah, they had a couple snowstorms. Big snowstorm was hitting as we were leaving. They actually, you know, shut highways down out there when you're in North Dakota. It was kind of hairy getting out of there. And we bought a multi-season winter tent. We brought with us propane heaters to leave behind. Now I understand the purpose of 0 degree sleeping bags, because we had to use all of those supplies. We had to have thermal pads underneath us because the ground is like ice. And, you know, you had to bring a lot of gear. You had to show up prepared so you weren't going to be a drain on the camp.
Right. So now people may be starting to understand why I referred to you as a super activist, because you really are out there in so many important campaigns. What would you say your proudest activist moment has been? What's your most thing you're most proud of that you've done in your long career of activism?
I don't think I could pick one. I think they all have formed who I am today. They've formed my politics. I don't want to pick one out, because they've all, you know, just been so meaningful and important. You know, I can just, when my activism started stepping up, like we touched on, it was definitely from the Occupy Wall Street movement. I was one of the people that was detained on the Brooklyn Bridge when over 700 people were arrested, because I had my daughter and her friend with us. They were able to coax the police in letting them out of the kettling. And I hadn't thought out being arrested yet. So I had to, you know, beg and coax my way out of the kettling, but we had been kettled for a bit. And, you know, I just saw that brave moment of all those people standing their ground and holding that space. And it was just a beautiful sense of community. And then we became involved with various groups, going to direct action planning meetings. I got to meet, I would say, super superstar activists like Lisa Fithian, who has been an activist with the anti-globalist movement. She was out there during the battle for Seattle, back with No NATO. And I guess that was in the late 1990s, I believe. I got to watch and participate in her trainings and just really learn so much from that shared common space of Zuccotti Park. You know, we would hear speakers from anywhere, from, you know, David Graeber to Jeffrey Sachs to Chris Hedges. Learned about Naomi Klein through Occupy, but I didn't get to see her at Occupy. But just a beautiful, you know, shared space and growth for so many. And I then, you know, I was surprised, because, you know, I guess how old was I at the time? You know, younger, middle-aged, somewhat suburban mom who, within a couple of months, I was organizing, driving a bunch of Occupy Wall Street activists up to occupy the New Hampshire primaries. And there I was able to engage with the local activists who really, they perfect the skills of occupying events and bird dogging candidates. So we learned a lot. So shout out to my Occupy New Hampshire activist friends who I'm still in touch with. But we had some great moments where we were calling out Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich. I had to shake Santorum's hand because we needed to be up front and center, and it was kind of creepy. I was like, oh.
You want to wash up afterward a little bit.
So it was great. And at one moment, because at that point, Mitt Romney was taking the lead early on. And as we know how that turned out, he took the primary. We had a cool moment with occupiers at a rally in Bedford, New Hampshire. And I actually had one of my 15 minutes of activist fame, in which for some reason we were doing our Occupy chants, chanting about getting money out of politics, and Mitt Romney called on me and started saying, and there's still a video clip out there if you were to Google it. I think if you were to Google Mitt engages occupier, you can see the video, and then I was interviewed by local press after. Mitt called on me to say, you know, what is your request? And I was able to, as best as I could, it was hard in a large crowd that was very angry, yell about money in politics and needing, you know, to get money out now. And I think I kind of freaked him out when he started to give me the facts and figures about Obama. And I said, I'm not supporting President Obama in 2012.
Well, that leads well into the next question I wanted to ask you, actually, that,
yes.
You know, since you don't support Republicans, you don't support Democrats, you're a Green Party candidate.
Yes.
What is it about the Green Party that made you decide this is where I want to spend my time and energy?
Well, it's a good segue where we were just coming from, because that clip actually was in a Patch article that got a lot of national attention. I was even told that that clip was on, but when you're in activist mode, you don't get to watch TV, but I was told it was on CNN, MSNBC, so it got a little viral buzz. And people were even messaging me from that clip saying, you should check out Jill Stein, you should check out the Green Party. And it was in 2012, I already knew, there was no doubt in my mind I was not voting for President Obama in 2012, although I did vote for him in 2008, certainly not a Republican. So my first turn at voting for a Green was for Jill Stein in 2012. And I'd say I got more engaged with the Green Party in 2013, and here we are today. So. Yeah.
And now you're running as a Green Party candidate here in New Jersey.
Yes, I'm running for Congress in Congressional District 7. I don't think if you told me 5 years ago I'd be running for Congress, I would believe it. But it's been a wonderful ride, and I look forward to our last few weeks of campaigning. We've gotten a lot of support. We're engaging volunteers. We've been able to raise a decent amount of money for some beautiful campaign literature and signs and bumper stickers that are designed by our wonderful graphic artist and artist extraordinaire, yourself.
Yes, I will admit I've been doing a lot of Diane's graphics, as well as Madeline Hoffman's graphics, and yep. I'm also campaign managing Steve Fenichel, so I've been very busy with the graphics this campaign.
You have been. Yeah, it's all grassroots. We pulled together all these wonderful people with wonderful talents, and the campaign has been excellent.
So your campaign is extremely different than the campaigns being run by the corporate duopoly parties. Because you're not taking any corporate money, you're allowed to talk about these issues that really matter to people. So what are some of the key parts of your platform and your issues that you're really focusing on in this campaign?
Well, we have been canvassing. We have been going door to door. And it is interesting, and maybe because I'm a real person and completely removed from the 1%, I'm probably more aware of what is actually affecting your day-to-day American today. And our platform seems to be resonating with people, but when we do canvass, we've been asking the voters, what are the top issues that matter to you? You know, what is affecting you on the day-to-day? What do you want to see politicians pushing for? And it's pretty much the issues of people are, you know, strapped down in massive amounts of student loan debt. So when they hear us talk about free public higher education, that really resonates with voters. Our platform has a, you know, plan for student loan debt forgiveness. So you're either looking at people who are sending kids to college or with young children who are worried about the cost of college, or, you know, we're talking to people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and even 50s who have been paying student loan debt for decades. The other thing is improved Medicare for all. A lot of people have been saying they're, even with the Affordable Care Act, they are strapped down with medical debt. They can't get the health care they need. Their insurance premiums go up every year. Their co-pays go up every year, and their list of doctors shrink. Also, we, you know, talk about a real living wage. Talking to people in, you know, our regular suburban communities in New Jersey, and you know, we've kind of joked about in my peer group of suburban parents with millennials at home that one thing that have saved a lot of people is having finished off basements, because millennials are having I'm a Gen Xer, and you know, I'm struggling with student loan debt and other debt, but the millennials have the debt and they don't have the jobs. So at least I was privileged in being able to get you know, get through state college, get through City University of New York law school. I will be paying my student loan debt until I'm 69 years old and would have paid back over $300,000 by the time I'm done.
But that is just unbelievable how much debt people have.
Yeah, and I went to public institutions, so that is insane that by the time I was done with my education, I had over $100,000 in debt, but the interest rates are so insane because only the privileged get to play around with those debt figures to make them work for them and in either direction and make money off of us. We don't have the privilege of having low interest rates on our student loan debt. But I see in my own daughter, who is a millennial, that you know, she's a college grad, but the jobs just aren't there. You know, I see my local Trader Joe's is full of, and there's nothing wrong with working at Trader Joe's. My daughter works there. But we see lots of people with advanced degrees that probably need to, or, you know, desire to work in their chosen fields. And we're losing a lot of untapped talent there. I can't imagine, you know, some of the talented people that could be doing, you know, things from, oh, I'm going to segue into another issue on my platform, which is talking about the environment. We need to invest in a clean, renewable energy infrastructure that would create jobs and then also work towards fighting climate chaos. And I know there are people that are working at jobs that aren't in their chosen field that could be plugged in all different ways to a jobs program that would build a clean, renewable energy infrastructure. That's just one way of doing it. And utilize, let's find out, you know, how to utilize these people with these degrees that are not living the life that they thought they were going to when they started out in college.
Right. I think so many people, and not even just young people, like people still think of millennials as being children, but millennials are they in their 30s now? Some of the oldest.
Yeah.
And they still have not had a chance to develop any sort of careers because the economy just is not working for everyone.
It's not.
It only works for such a few people.
And a couple of years back, I had read an article about Gen Xers are permanently impacted by the collapse of the economy in 2008 because they're working at lower wages when you look at the cost of living and inflation than my generation did. And they're not able to, their ability to purchase houses, to have children, to have a retirement account, that's going to affect them throughout their entire lives. And it's going to affect us. If they don't have children, we need a workforce to keep things like Social Security afloat. We need, we need people to work and support themselves, of course, just because we should care about each other as a society, right?
Oh, absolutely. Is there any other key parts of your platform you'd like to touch on? I know you're very different from both of your opponents in that you're extremely anti-war.
Yes. And you'll see when we have our local anti-war rallies in New Jersey, we don't expect to see the Republicans come around, but we don't have any Democrats coming around. And there are some, we have some progressive Democrats in our area, but your average rank and file Democrat in New Jersey is not coming to the local anti-war rallies that if you want to message me, I'll let you know where they are. Cause they're, in Newark, we were having monthly rallies, throughout the late winter and early spring. And you don't see the Democrats coming out. You're certainly not going to see any leaders, but I'd even like to see more rank and file Democrats out, come out and listen, come out and learn about, the military is one of our greatest polluters globally, our U.S. military. And so everything is so connected from, talking about the military, talking about the planet, climate change. And it's about the neoliberal agenda that is really just out to line the pockets of their corporate donors, their kickbacks. We all see what happened with Bill Clinton, with Hillary, and now with Obama. Obama's only been out of office for, about a year and 7 months?
Mm-hmm.
He's already, pretty early after his presidency ended, he was already at a $2 million mark in Wall Street speeches.
Wow.
So it looks like he's surpassing Bill and Hillary. And it's all connected to, they need to run the military machine. The military machine kills the planet. Globalism is killing our working class here in the U.S. Trade agreements. And it's all just about the neoliberal agenda that is pushed and run by the 1%. And, it could also lead into the money out of politics issue on our campaign. We take no big money. We take no corporate money. I will not take money from the pharmaceutical industry, from, you name it, all these industries, the health insurance lobby, which made sure Obama didn't push through and improve Medicare for All campaign. And, that's why so much of this will just circle back around to the need for really getting money out of politics. But and I know I segued off of war, but that's why we're in the place we're in with money in politics, because it's big defense contractors lining the pockets of our politicians. And, your Bill, your Hillary, your Barack, your Cory Booker, they don't want money out of politics to end. It is their lifeblood, and they will give you a little bit of lip service here and there, but it's how they also make their living, and it's how they run their politics. They will not get it out of the DNC. They will not take an anti-war platform because it's all connected to their big money. And that's why I love running as a Green, because my platform, I own those issues 100%. you know, in my heart, that is what I see, how we can really have a better world that works for all of us. And that's why you're never going to have your neoliberals push that agenda that is actually going to work for and save the working class, because they don't care about us anymore. They don't care about high numbers at the polls. They care about keeping things status quo, because that's what their corporate donors who control them, that's what they want and seek. And that's what they're going to keep getting from the Democrats.
So if people are hearing what you're saying and they're really excited about, wow, here's a candidate who's actually going to fight for people, not for the corporations, how can they get in touch and help you out?
Okay. My website right now for my campaign is moxleyforus.com, and that's moxleyforus.com. And if you add a /donate, you can also donate to the campaign, because this is a people-powered campaign. We have wonderful volunteers helping us, but we do need some cash for our supplies. And I always tell people, any amount, even if it's your typical coffee budget, if you could throw me $5, if you could throw me $10, every amount is greatly appreciated.
And Greens know how to stretch a dollar. It may seem like small numbers, like, oh, what's $5 going to do? But Greens are creative. They know how to stretch that money. We don't need, it would certainly be nice to have the $1 million budgets, but every little bit we can really make the best use out of.
Absolutely.
And are you on Facebook or Twitter?
Yes, it's Diane Moxley for Congress on Facebook. The same thing with Twitter and Instagram would be Moxley for Us.
Okay.
And yes, it's my Facebook page officially is, Diane Moxley for New Jersey's 7th Congressional District. And like I said, the Twitter is Moxley for Us and the Instagram is Moxley for Us.
All right. It's been great talking to you today. Do you have any last words you'd like to add before we wrap it up for today?
No, I would just say engage with your local Greens or whatever movements that are out there that are really pushing these left agendas. Don't be conned to the pandering of the neoliberals. I truly believe that with people power and everybody on the left joining together, I truly believe, one of my favorite sayings is, I believe that we will win.
Yay, that's a great idea.
Let's fight together. It's a good chance.
Thank you so much for being here today. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
And to my listeners, thank you so much for joining us again this week. We really appreciate every single one of you. We appreciate when you like and share our stuff around. It's also a people-powered revolution here at New Jersey Revolution Radio. We also do not accept any corporate money. We only accept money from donations from our listeners, and we need your help to keep this thing going. If you like hearing these kinds of interviews with the candidates that are not getting airtime on the mainstream media, long-form interviews about socialist history, about activists that inspire you, and local artists, then we need help. Go on to our website and click on that donate button. If you could help us out and have set up a monthly recurring donation on Patreon, we'd really appreciate that. And anything you can do, we really need your help. So thank you so much. The future is yours to create. Go out there and create it.